Welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 Podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about hot brakes on Toyotas and what you can do for them, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs, my name is Tyler, and joining me in the studio for episode 285 is the one and only Mr. Hot Brake Jimmy himself. Mr. Hot Brake Jay, how are you?
Doing hot-tastic.
Hot-tastic, yeah?
Yeah.
That's a good thing, I guess. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Are you as hot as the weather was last week and yet not this week?
I don't know, man. The weather's so confusing right now.
Yeah, it was weird. We hit, like, it was a 10 to high. 15 degrees above average.
Record high, and not by like, it was a few, 0.3 degrees high. It was like 5 degrees over the last record.
Yeah.
It blew it out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Record high. Then we had snow and rain and cold weather.
Uh-huh.
And I think what it was like, we got almost an inch to an inch and a half of rain here in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're back up to like 78 degrees today.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it. I just learned to not ask questions anymore.
Nope. And also, don't take us for weather advice.
Yeah. That works too. So, this is episode 285 coming out on a Friday. Just because, we decided we would finally launch episode 248. And why not just screw everything else up and release an episode on Friday too?
248?
249. That's what I meant. So for some reason I was gonna say 284 and I was like, no, that's not right. My dyslexia kicked in. It's 248. No, neither of those are right.
No. Try again.
Try again.
You just want to start over? Want to leave a little break so we can cut that out?
No, it's fine. Everyone needs to know how much of an idiot I am. Anyways, episode 285 is this one here. Hopefully you guys enjoyed yesterday's episode of Corva doing some really fucking cool stuff for off-roading here in California. And I'm really hoping that California just usually gets set as a precedence for other states, things going on around the nation. So if California, of all places, starts opening more places for off-road recreation, that might set a precedence and open up eyeballs across the nation.
Absolutely.
I hope so. That's what I'm hoping, right? Yeah,
definitely.
So huge shout out to Corva. If you didn't hear that or don't know what I'm talking about, you need to go back and listen to episode 249 here, which is yesterday's episode, right before this episode.
That's not confusing.
We like to keep the listeners on their toes here in Snail Trail 4x4.
If that's not confusing, what you need to do is you need to cancel your Patreon account.
Oh, geez. Here
we go. And move over to iRate 4x4.
Yep. And how do they do that, Jimmy?
Well, you just go on to Patreon and go cancel or stop spending money on you thing. And then you go over to iRate 4x4 and up on the top bar, there's a support or donate tab. And then down below, there's a, what is it called? Watch, listen, watch, play, fornicate or something. I don't know what it was called.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
Watch, listen, discuss.
Yeah. NSW. And then and you can go down there and there should be a Snail Squad whole slew of ways to sign up. There's the $5 tier or a $60 annual. There's the $10 tier or $120 annual. And today is the opening of the $20 tier or the $240 annual.
Yep. And so check those out. All the benefits are there listed under the sign up there on that page. So you can see what you're getting for your hard earned cash. So that should work out pretty well, I think. I'm pretty sure Patreon captures the payments like around midnight or midnight 01, something like that, on April 1st. So you should be good to go and cancel stuff and move on over. Double check though, as you're going through your Patreon account and make sure that Patreon captured the charge for April. It'll be for March, but it'll be captured on April 1st. So we use that capture to do the giveaway here for March. So make sure that that was captured before you cancel. Otherwise, you will not be included for March's giveaway.
Correct.
So,
and if you don't even want to risk it, wait till next week.
Yeah, just wait till next week. We'll have all of the month of April to get everybody switched over here. So it is a very streamlined process. We've just been very hush hush about it because we didn't want payments to get all screwed up as we're coming to the end of the month there in March. So,
and we'll discuss more of this on Thursday's episode 250.
Okay.
Oh wait, it would be 251,
dude. Right? So, whatever it is. Oh man. So yeah, happy Friday to everybody. Hopefully you guys are gearing up for the weekend and have a good, safe weekend. We're just gonna jump right on over because we talked a lot in the last episode. In 249, which we finally released for you guys. And so you guys will get to listen into the rest of our shenanigans of what went on last weekend here. So I guess that about does it. Do you have anything else to add before we jump on into episode 285 here?
No, but I do think we might need to start adding letters to our numbering system. Okay. So we'll discuss that off
just air. Turn it into algebra for everybody. Yeah. we'll turn it into algebraic equations. You have to solve the equation to figure out which number episode it is. Yeah,
it'll be like 512 minus 300.
Yeah.
That's what episode we're on.
Yes. All right. So without further ado, we'll get right on over. Go ahead and grab your favorite drinks. We'll be right on back with the rest of the shenanigans from the past week.
Yeah, well, I couldn't walk.
You couldn't really do much. So yeah, there's not a whole lot.
I didn't do much this weekend. Yeah. I did do a bit of research on brakes.
Okay.
And for Bobcat. Mm-hmm. And I might be going up to Tundra brakes.
Okay.
I'm looking into it. I might just stick with what I have. Mm-hmm. But I've had a lot of people reach out on that post. It's probably one of my most popular posts that I did on Instagram in a long time. And people were telling me all different problems that might have been happening from just the wheel bearings going out to possible old rubber brake lines that swell and you know, don't release, you know, or swell and have too much fluid in it and then just never let the caliper fully release.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of different things. So I might just completely redo almost the entire brake system on Bobcat. Like maybe everything but the hard lines
along the frame rails.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I might replace the master cylinder, the vacuum, you know, I might replace all the soft lines, the calipers, the discs. On that side, I definitely need to replace all the bearings and everything. Mm-hmm. It all probably got cooked, you know, and then, not sure about the rear. I mean, the rear's fairly new.
Yeah.
Since I did the disc brakes. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I might do that and then I might go up to Tundra brakes. I don't know.
That'd be cool.
I already have a kit that I was planning on putting on Samantha.
Oh.
But I'm kind of like, I don't, Samantha is kind of, I might be put on hold. And I might, since it's not going to be ready for Cruise Moab, and I definitely need to put some time into Bobcat before we go. Samantha's probably going to be put on hold for a little bit. And then I'm going to, you know, work on Bobcat and do some stuff with Clifford.
Gotcha.
To make it more reliable. So yeah, that's probably the game plans there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's for the most part about it. I did hint a while ago when we were talking to Sean from Shock Surplus that I got coilovers. I don't know if we want to talk about those or wait till another week.
Let's just keep going. We'll turn this into two episodes. And so we'll release this one Thursday, or I guess this part of it Friday. But so we'll have a Thursday and Friday release.
Okay.
So
we'll do a what in the butt for Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had a lot going on. There was a lot of really cool stuff happening.
You should label the previous episode 249.
Oh, that would be okay. Done. That's gonna be hilarious. See how many people pick up on it.
Yeah. Last episode.
People are gonna get to this point in the episode and be like, "I fucking hate you guys." Do you want to explain 249 then? Now since we're talking about it, we're gonna do that, or do you just want to let it go?
Well, if you're going to label it 249, I think we should talk about it.
Okay. We'll talk about this episode, but 249 is yesterday's episode, Thursday.
Okay.
Okay, so what happened with episode 249, Jimmy?
I don't even remember. I don't either. We had way too much stuff going on, I believe, and didn't have time to sit down and do a recording. We got one of the recordings done.
I think 249 was around the holidays, if I remember right, like Christmas or New Year's or something. And so we were like, we were going to record something, but we just couldn't figure out.
We couldn't get together.
We couldn't get together to record. And then I was like thinking about putting out just a 5-minute episode that said, hey, Merry Christmas. Have a good day, everybody. We love you. I just didn't get around to it. And so 249 ended up being not there. And we were like, well, what do we do for 249 then? And
it was 249 would have been like late November.
Late November.
It would have been Thanksgiving
area. Yeah. So it's probably Thanksgiving. And then we were just like, let's just skip it and not bring it up and see if people come freak out about not having 249 and us not bringing it up. And so when people started bringing up asking where 249 was, we just kind of were like, I don't know, ignored their comments and went on with life.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I think most people realize that.
Yeah. I did have a couple people, one person, I guess, this morning mentioned episode 249. So anyway, so now 249 is released.
There we go.
We got it for you guys. We found it.
We caught back up.
Oh, man. So, all right. Now that we got 249 out of the way, we got 249 now for everybody. Let's talk about these coilovers, because I think it's really cool. I didn't understand it really when you had mentioned it when we were talking with Sean. And then I was over at the shop and looking at them in person as you're explaining them. I was like, oh, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
So explain.
Yeah. So they're Bilstein 9125s, 9150s, something like that. 9165s, somewhere. It's 91 series. But I was talking to Ian from Wheeling Every Weekend, and we were talking a while ago, and he told me he had these really cool older shocks that Bilstein no longer makes. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much all he said. And now I'm at the point where I'm like, hey, I'm going to need coilovers for Samantha here soon. Mm-hmm. And there's this backlog on coilovers and everything, you know, that especially from what Sean said, you know, is that it's just impossible to get. And so it's like the whole Samantha build might've been screwed if I didn't get coilovers. I wouldn't be able to finish the rig anyway. I'm waiting for coilovers for a year.
Yeah.
You know? And so, anyway, so I contacted Ian again and I was like, hey, do you remember the rock crawler, like edition Bilstein shocks you were telling me about? Do you still have those? And can you tell me more about them? And he said, yeah, he has two pairs, and he had a 14s and 12s. Okay. And everybody, I said somewhere online, and I said, I don't know what size shocks I'm going to get for Samantha. And everybody's like, get 14s. Like, you can either reduce it or you can, you know, you're going to need it all. And I was like, okay, fine. And so he told me about them, and they're old. They're an older technology for Bilsteins. They're 10 years, 15 years old. But they're a 2-inch body shock. The body of the shock.
So the tube, the can that holds everything in it.
Yeah. Okay. It's a 2-inch body.
Okay.
And then, but it's got a 7/8 inch shaft for the shock. So
why is that significant?
Well, so the 7/8 inch shafts are typically in 2.5 inch bodies.
Yes.
So it's got a much larger shaft in a smaller package.
Yeah. That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I'm used to that comment.
Okay.
I know how that works.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, and it's just, it doesn't tuna look can? Right.
Does it look like a tuna can?
Kind of. It's sort of, I guess. And because the shaft is larger, it takes up a lot of space inside of the can section.
Okay.
Right. So there's, even though, you know, to run shocks of that size, you need a certain amount of oil. Mm-hmm. And so because the shaft is larger, it's taking up that volume. What they did is they made just a massive reservoir.
Yeah, essentially you don't have the volume inside the shock body for the amount of oil it needs.
Correct.
Yeah.
So so we kind of compared it to your Fox 2.5s.
I think I have 2.0. My coilovers, I thought they were 2.0s.
No, the bodies are 2.5s.
Oh, okay.
And the shafts are 7/8.
Perfect. Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So we compared them to yours, and it was visibly different. Yeah. The body of the shaft was visibly smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But the reservoirs are like 1.5 times larger than yours.
Yes.
It's just crazy.
It was pretty crazy.
And so, and all the internals, what Ian was telling me is all the internals are still stock.
Okay.
You know, you kind of have to do a little mix and match, whether it's you're using the body, 2-inch body shims or the 2.5-inch, you know, or 7/8-inch shaft shims or something. You know, you have to adjust them, but they're all still stock materials and everything's still available out there. So when I rebuild them, I can still get all the internals for it.
Nice.
Yeah. And so I can make a brand new shock out of this old technology, have it be a smaller package, but just as strong
as
some of the new modern day stuff out there.
Which is surprising to me why that's considered old technology. Cause I'm like, that's kind of cool. The shock package itself doesn't take up a whole lot of space. The reservoir takes up some good amount of space.
Yeah.
It's like the reservoir, you get multiple options for mounting options or packaging places for the reservoir. So it's like, that's not as big of an issue. Why don't companies do it this way?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just because it might not be as efficient for transferring the fluids back and forth.
Maybe.
And I would...
For higher speed stuff.
Exactly. If that's for high speed concerns, which...
Gotcha.
I don't do.
You don't do in Bobcat?
No, I definitely don't do.
I've seen you get up to like almost 90 miles an hour in Bobcat before.
Yeah, it's happened once. And
I guess Samantha, these are going under Samantha, huh?
No. Well, these are going into Samantha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to build Samantha to be able to do more high speed stuff, but it's not going to be the focus of that build.
Gotcha.
Okay. Right? Like I want to be able to go have a little bit more fun, like at the dunes with mm-hmm. Samantha than I could in Bobcat.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal for Samantha is going to be a rock crawler.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if I remember right, and I don't know if Ian even listens to us, but he could probably correct us, or you can contact him if you have more questions about it. I think it was a rule in some of the rock crawling competitions that you couldn't have a larger body than 2 inches.
Oh, interesting.
And so to go larger, what they did is they did more, a bigger reservoir and the bigger shock or the shaft diameter.
Gotcha.
But they kept the body the same.
Okay. That makes sense.
And so, yeah, so I picked up the 14s from him. I'm probably going to pick up the 12s.
Okay.
Because I don't, long story short, in Samantha build, I might do trailing arms on a second version of Samantha.
Okay. Nice.
And if I do 12s, I can adjust it to wherever I want.
Yeah.
And to move it up or down the trailing arm. And I could use the full potential of those 12s.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. So that's the new, those are the coilovers I got
mm-hmm.
for Samantha. I'm really intrigued. And interested in tearing those open and seeing how they kind of work. And,
mm-hmm.
And you know, and it was the man, that guy, Ian, he sure knows a lot about shocks.
He does.
He was like, yeah, you could do this shim and it will become digressive, or you could do this shim and it's linear, or you could do this shim and it's, you know,
more progressive,
mm-hmm. you know, and it kind of just depends on what you want. And I'm like, I don't know.
Like, dude, so sitting down and talking with Sean from Shock Surplus.
Yeah.
It was fun, but like I never retain the information when we're sitting down interviewing people.
Yeah.
Cause I'm so concerned about
the interview.
Right.
Sure.
And so going back and listening to that episode, it was like,
there are gems in there.
There was a lot of really good gems in there. Mm-hmm. It was a great episode. I actually learned quite a bit from it. And I was like, I was doing the interview. I don't remember this part.
Right.
Yeah.
No, definitely. And I didn't know the differences between progressive and digressive.
Mm-hmm.
And now I understand it much better.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I went from stock shocks on the Tacoma to the, to a spacer lift
mm-hmm.
with the stock shocks to the Bilsteins. And it's amazing to feel the difference in those
yeah.
where, you know, Bilsteins are tough at the lower end. Right. And then if you get up higher, they become a little bit softer.
Yeah.
And it totally makes sense because there's some speed bumps in my neighborhood and the truck feels so much better hitting those at 30 miles an hour than like 10 miles an hour. Now I shouldn't be going 30 in the neighborhood, but it's smoother over the bumps.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so I'm, the coils are going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, there's no springs on them. Mm-hmm. I need to still figure out the springs, spring rates,
yeah,
and get those, and then I can fully assemble everything. And I was talking to Ian again about, hey, how, like, what do I need to do for springs? He's like, well, you need to weigh the vehicle, all four corners, figure out how much weight's in every different position and, you know, everything else. And I'm like, yeah, but the vehicle's not even together yet.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out, you know, like, how do I figure all that out without having coils on there? And like, I was like, ah. So, it's just one of those, you know, is the cart before the horse still? I have no idea.
Yeah, that was figuring out spring rates is an interesting thing. Samurai James, one of the big things that he went through while we were down at King of the Hammers was his freaking kings, his coilovers on the Black Betty, right?
Yes.
His Samurai, the new one. He's got 16-inch travel coilovers on that Samurai. Beautifully done. Nice, really nicely built. Triple bypasses in the rears. I'm just like, this is way overkill for rock crawling. But the new kings he put in had really, really stiff spring rates. And we're all telling him, like, you have, I think you had 150 or 200 and 250 spring rates in there. And I was like, you're in a fucking Samurai.
Right.
Like, 150 is a really stiff spring rate for first gen 4Runners, and you're in a Samurai. And so I was like, dude, you have to get those spring rates checked out. And so he took everything back over to King to, you know, talk to them about the spring rates. And I happened to be walking by the booth while he was in their little garage booth space talking with them. And they had the rig all flexed out. They were taking measurements on stuff. So I just kind of walked over and stood there while they were discussing it. And the guy was taking measurements of where the collar that you can adjust in the middle of the springs, where it was seated, whether or not it needed to go up or down. And he was flexing out the rig to figure out the travel of them and the spring travel and setting that up properly on the shock. And he goes, you're set up perfectly for your rig. And I'm just sitting back. I'm never once did the guy mention anything about vehicle weight per corner.
Right.
To figure out the quote unquote spring rate. And I was like, what is this guy doing? He's out here to be one of the techs working for King. That's embarrassing. And so finally, James went out to, I think his name's Arabia, the guy that does the tuning for King out there.
Oh yeah.
The shock tuning for King.
Yeah.
And so he was out there. Samurai James found him just as he was like packing up. So he had Samurai James take a quick lap and he goes, oh yeah, your spring rates are all fucked up.
Right.
And told him and said, hey, here's what you need to get on the rig. And I guess they got it all figured out from there. And like the dude noticed it immediately.
Right.
But their tech that James was originally working with was clueless on it. And I was like, what? That's embarrassing. But anyways, so spring rates, super important, but you can't really figure them out
until you know the weight.
Until you know the weight of the vehicle and what you want to be using the vehicle for.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting.
Yeah. So I'm in that limbo of I don't know the weight of the vehicle, but I also need some springs to start setting heights of vehicles to figure out where my shock is going to sit so I can start building, you know, the upper mounts and whatnot.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it might just be one of those where it's fully extended at full droop. This is where it ends up. And if it's fully compressed, this is where it ends up and mount it there and then figure out the coils that work in that area or something. So
yeah, I think the goal is to package it for your travel of the shock. And then from there, you got to try and figure out your ride height by playing around with different spring rates.
Right. And so, the collar.
And the collar. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's a big learning experience.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But yeah, so I got those coils. Super stoked with them. They look great. There's some cool old like stickers in there
nice.
That he sent me. It was funny because he messaged me. He's like, I'm going to keep one of these. Like, do it.
Go for it.
So I might follow up with them and get those 12s.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have them.
Yeah.
but who knows?
I think doing trailing arms on Bobcat would be awesome. Mm-hmm. I really want to do trailing arms. Like if I had my way with Kermit to do exactly what I want, I would do trailing arms on Kermit in the rear, but I don't want to cut up into the cab of the SUV, the 4Runner, right? That's the downside of running an SUV body. Whereas like in a pickup, yeah, you kind of easy. You just kind of throw it in there and wall it in so you can still use your bed if you want to. But I would have to re-tub the whole cab and everything. I'm like, I would love to do trailing arms.
Yeah.
But the shocks for on trailing arms would end up like in the rear seat area. That's why I can't do it. And so I'm like, dang it. So I got to figure out another... what I'm going to do with the rears.
Yeah, we'll see. I have no idea what's going to happen in the life of Bobcat or the life of Samantha. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no need for me to have two vehicles. There's and this point in time, there's really no need for me to have a two-seater.
Yeah.
I need a family rig. Mm-hmm. It would be kind of nice to have a two-seater and a family rig.
Yeah.
And depending on who's going and, you know, what the game plan is, mm-hmm. I have, something that a vehicle that I could kind of take depending on the scenario. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I mean, I at least don't need two-seaters.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen if, I finish Samantha and then sell Bobcat, or I finish Samantha and then sell Samantha eventually. Yeah. I'm not sure what's going to happen. So because a lot of what I'm doing on Samantha, I wanted to do on Bobcat, but mm-hmm. I also was like, Bobcat's already, a lot of the steps on Bobcat are done that I would need to do on Samantha. So I might as well build one rig from start to finish.
So instead you can show how to work.
Yeah. Show how to build a solid front axle where Bobcat already has a solid front axle.
Yeah.
I think in hindsight, I should have just said, here's my rig. You know, like I'm going to upgrade. Now I'm going to three link it. Now mm-hmm. I'm going to, maybe do trailing arms. And now I'm going to extend the front of the frame out mm-hmm. farther so I can, move the power steering box forward and put a winch plate in or whatever else, there is to do. In hindsight of the YouTube land, I probably should have just done that instead of starting a whole new build.
Yeah.
But oh well.
Oh well.
It's on now.
Yep.
But it's delayed, I think, now again.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I might be able to do two things at once. I don't know.
So your goal to get Bobcat ready for Moab is mainly the brakes. You think everything else is good to go?
For the most, right? I'm probably going to go, I want to get tires, new tires at least.
You have a set of 40s.
I know, but 37s don't work. That I need bump stops.
I need to put bump stops in Kermit. Let's have a bump stop party day. Yeah,
I need to do bump stops. I know
Lee has done some really great research on Kongs.
Yeah, I know. So. Those are cool.
They work great. I will give it to him. They work phenomenal.
I don't think 40s would go. I don't think I could do it on Bobcat's front. I turn with 37s and stuffed and I'm like tearing up that tire.
How were the IROCs when you ran a Strawberry Trail? Because you had my 3950 IROCs on there.
Yeah, I didn't do much turning and there wasn't much articulation needed on that trail.
True.
I went into the hardest part and it was okay. I don't remember too much, but I would say that, so let's say that trail compared to Pritchett.
Oh yeah. True. Okay.
I don't know. So I don't know what I'm I do think I'm going to go with some internal beadlocks.
Those are nice. If I do it over again, I would probably do some internal beadlocks.
Yeah.
I really like them. They're a pain in the ass to set up, but if you know what you need to do to set them up and you can do it the first time, they work out really, really well.
Yeah. So I might do that. I might get some 37s. I put a few fuelers out asking if anybody knows where a discount, how to get some discounted mm-hmm. tires to some extent. Because I don't want to buy a full tire price.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody does.
No.
I do have a discount at Milestar, but I kind of don't want to run them. It just seems like everybody runs them and I just want to do something else. I would love to get some Trepidors.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Once again, I don't know how. I mean, Trepidors are so luggy.
Yeah.
And the lugs stick out really wide
for trailering.
Turning. Gotcha. I think I'd have issues.
Yeah.
I do need to figure out anyway. So I need tires. I think my wheels are going to be fine, especially if I go internal beadlocks. Mm-hmm. I do need to figure out the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to figure out something in regards to my steering, because my pitman arm ball joint for what is that, the drag link,
okay,
at my pitman arm hits my tie rod.
Sorry, say that again. The ball joint for your drag link, up on the, or
the tie rod on my pitman arm,
okay,
that's for the drag link, right?
The tie rod for your pitman arm for your drag, I'm sorry,
whatever that, the joint on your, the pitman arm,
the rod end, okay, yep,
the tie rod end.
Okay, the tie rod end, gotcha.
On the drag link that's attached to the pitman arm.
Okay.
When I fully compress driver's side tire all the way up, that tie rod end hits my tie rod.
Gotcha. Okay.
Is it a tie rod end? The FJ80 joint.
It's called a rod end.
Rod end, yeah. Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That hits my tie rod.
Have you already rotated your box?
No.
Your steering box? Hmm.
So that's something. So I could try to rotate the box into a flat pitman arm in that amount of time.
Mm-hmm. That would require kind of rotating, plating the frame.
Well, the frame's, yeah, and the frame's plated, but so for the stock position.
Exactly. You'd have to cut it or redo it for the rotated position. Yeah, that would be
pain.
A lot. Are you bump stopped in the front?
Bump stops?
What are those?
I got shocks.
Yeah, shocks. That'll work. I
would need to bump stop the front. So if I get new tires, if I'm getting 37s, because I've thought about getting 35s just so I can prevent this problem. But anyway, so if I get 37s or 40s, I have to do bump stops around. If I get 40s, I have to do an immense amount of trimming in the rear.
You have a truck bed though.
To fit all that.
Yeah.
So
we got Sawzalls.
Yeah, we do.
We can do it. I'll come over. We can have a Sawzall and bump stop party.
Yeah. And Clifford, I need to change the oil, do fluids. I need to figure out the exhaust leaf. I was talking a little bit to Kevin and he's like, you need to get a smoke machine and just blow some smoke up that pipe and you'll figure it out. I'm like, okay. I want to figure out the exhaust leak. The AC is out again.
Oh no.
So I want to figure that AC out, but it's not a major priority.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a major priority.
I know you do. I don't know what else. I do want to put a trans cooler in on Clifford before we go.
Okay.
So I've got a laundry list of shit that needs to get done in a fairly short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't think I can do much on Samantha.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I've got my main goal is just get the transfer case and the clutch done.
Yeah.
Before Moab. Really before the patron run, before the patron listener meetup.
Right.
April 16th. So I've been working on the transfer case. Not patrons, just listeners. Yeah. Any listeners, anybody and all, everybody. I tore apart. My plan here is I figured out that my oil leak on my transfer case I have in the rig now is coming from the shifters.
Okay. Yeah.
And some listeners told me that you can go down and buy gasket paper from Napa, just a roll of gasket paper, and then you can essentially cut out and make your own gaskets.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, that would kind of work actually pretty good for the shifter plate, because it's simple. You can trace it out really quick with just putting the shifter on the paper and then trace it out and then pop the holes in for the four bolts, right?
Sure.
And that way I can also, Marlin sells the OEM oil sling plates for the tops of the shifters, for the tops of T cases.
Oh, okay.
And it's the plate that goes inside the shifter plate area. And it comes down to a little circle that essentially the shifter is supposed to go through, and the ball of the stock shifters sits perfectly on that circle. And so it prevents any oil slinging from the gears to get up into the shifter plate area.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Smart.
It's apparently an OEM stock thing that everybody gets rid of whenever they fuck with their transfer cases. Yeah. And so nobody has them anymore. And so I was like, well, if I just took the gasket paper and copied that setup essentially. So cut a hole in the middle of it for the shifters to go down through and operate the levers in the transfer case and the crawl box. Then that'll act the same as the oil slinging plate. So thank you, Carlos, for pointing that out. Unfortunately, two of the bolt holes for the shifter plate are stripped on that fucking transfer case.
What?
Yeah. Wait,
on the four bolts that hold that shifter
The shifter plate down, yeah.
Two of those are stripped.
Two of them are stripped, which is why my shifter plate's leaking oil. Jeez. So... Not so you have only
a stripped one below.
I've got two stripped studs on the bottom of the transfer case.
And then the two bolts up top.
Mm-hmm. And the two bolts on the shifter plate are stripped.
Wow.
So I'm just like, okay, fuck this transfer case. It wasn't worth the $400 I paid for it now. And so I just completely, I was like, all right, I'm just going to leave the 400 parked here and avoid driving it until I get the new transfer case and the clutch put in. So now I took my old transfer case, my original one, which was Bobcat's transfer case.
Okay.
Because we put it under mine, under Kermit for the swappy swap swap.
Yeah, I don't even remember which order those were in. But yeah, yeah. Okay.
I redid that, and when I took that transfer case out, there were two bearings that were blown in the transfer case.
Really?
Well, one was the cage bearing in the crawl box.
Okay.
And the other one was the bearing that holds the one of the intermediate gears in the reduction box of the transfer case.
Mm.
So that is just a bearing with the ball bearings in it. It's not like a cage bearing. It's like a ball bearing one that has like a support that holds the balls together. So the cage bearing was completely destroyed. It was completely gone. And a bunch of the needle bearings, the roller bearings, I guess they're called, were just strewn about the crawl box. And I found a couple in the transfer case.
Dang.
When I opened it up. So they were all over the place. And then that whole metal support that holds the ball bearings in the transfer case bearing, that was just gone. No remnants of it whatsoever. So the ball bearings were, the balls were just floating in between the inner rim of the bearing and the outer rim of the bearing.
So hold on.
Okay.
I understand everything. I'm going back to the T-cases.
Okay.
So you put a new T-case on.
I put a new to me T-case on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had a T-case on the ground, and that one was Bobcat's?
Yes.
And that's the one you tore open?
That's the one I've torn open.
Got it.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, the cage bearing in the crawl box, I found that when I swapped the transfer cases.
Right.
So the leaky transfer case that's up there now has the cage bearing has been fixed, but the cage bearing broke and got destroyed and mangled and everything while Bobcat's transfer case was up there. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, when I pulled it all apart, there was just this really thick metal paste covering everything.
Wow.
Because the cage bearing and a couple of the roller bearings were in the transfer case and the whole metal support for that ball bearing was just gone. It had been eaten up by the gears.
That's crazy.
Right?
How do the gears look?
They look great. There's a little bit, like maybe a tiny, tiny little bit of wear and tear on them, but it almost looks like somebody just took a grinder and cut off, like ground off maybe the very corner edges of the gear or something. Like how you would do to like a 14 bolt if you're trying to do a shave on it. Sure. As far as you can.
Wow.
And so I was like, that's impressive after seeing it all. And I'm like, it has literally turned bearings components into a metal paste by chewing it up through the gears and the gears look just fine.
We need that torque button,
right?
That Jason and Chris need
more
have.
Torques. You can't handle the torques. So anyways, I was like, wow. Okay. So I have everything disassembled. Every cover is apart. The main, gear shaft is the input gear from the transmission. The output shaft.
The output from the transmission.
The output from the transfer case. So the rear output.
Out of the crawl box.
out of the transfer case, because the crawl box goes into the transmission, right? It goes transmission, yeah. Crawl box, T case.
Yes.
So the output shaft of the tree case, the T case for the rear output.
Yeah, for the drive shaft.
Yes, that is correct. That is still in the T case, in that one, the one cover that holds it.
Yeah.
But I've sprayed it all down and re-lubed the bearings that are in there. And so those bearings are just fine. Like, just fine. No problem. They spin super well. No holdup, no grinding, nothing. And so I, cleaning out everything, I used 4 cans of brake cleaner.
Wow.
And then put new bearings in everywhere else. And then I found out that I don't have any assembly lube, but No Squeak works beautifully as assembly lube.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How funny. It's great. So I used a No Squeak from Best Line Racing as the assembly lube for all the bearings after I put them in and kind of got them all running. So 2 of the bearings that were the worst, that were on the reduction box, they were stuck onto the shafts of the gears that they were on. So I ended up having to cut both of them off.
Really?
Yeah. So what I had to do,
they stuck by heat?
I'm guessing by heat. I tried, well, so one of them, both of them, I couldn't press them off because the inside, I don't want to call it a race. It's not a race. The inside face of the bearing that goes on the shafts,
yeah,
is curved. Once you get the balls out of the ball bearing, right, it's curved. Okay. So you can't get anything on it to stay on it to press it and grab and press it off, right? And so I ended up having to take the grinder and cutting ledges into that, like little lips into it, so that I could get something on there. But even the press, and I just have a little 12-ton press, it wasn't working to get them off.
Dang.
And so I had to heat it up. I put a bearing puller, but it's also like a flywheel, not a flywheel. What's the main crankshaft puller?
The crankshaft?
Is it the crankshaft?
Crankshaft,
but it's
pulley?
The pulley. Thank you. The pulley puller. That's what I'm looking for. It's a pulley puller / bearing puller. And I put that on, I got able to hook on the hooks, and I still couldn't get the bearing off of it after I'd cut off the outer ring of the bearing and removed all the balls out of it, right?
Wow.
And so what I had to do was cut, say you're looking at the shaft straight down, I had to cut down along the length of the shaft down so it cut the face of the bearing that was stuck on the shaft, right?
Okay. Without cutting the shaft.
Without cutting the shaft, exactly. And so I got it close enough where I didn't cut the face all the way off, but it was cut enough where then I applied heat to it and then put the pulley puller back on it and it pulled it right off.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, Jesus. So that took me 2.5-3 hours to get everything disassembled and get the pulleys, the bearings off of those 2 shafts on the gears. And then putting the new bearings on was just fine with the 12-ton press. But I found that that is one of the most satisfying things for me.
Using a press?
Using a press to push bearings or races or anything into their seat. Because you just go, and it just goes, ding, ding. Yeah. And every time you pull, it goes, do, 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 a little bit, little bit, little bit. And it's just so satisfying for some reason.
It is. You can see the progress.
Yes.
As you move that lever.
And you can feel the progress too. So if it gets jammed up or starts binding, you can feel that and you have that feedback. I don't know. It's just super satisfying to me. So got the new bearings on, pre-lubed them, cleaned off all the flange surfaces, cleaned out all the insides from the metal paste everywhere. I think I used 2 rolls of shop towels, 4 cans of brake clean. But everything is now clean and kind of pre-assembled and ready to just put all back together.
So are you waiting on anything?
Nope. Not time, waiting, it's just time. Yeah, yeah, time at this point. So my goal is this weekend to put it all back together and then hopefully sometime throughout next week, take out the transfer case and the crawl boxes and the transmission and get to the clutch. And then hopefully by the end of next weekend, the weekend before the Snail Trail meetup, I'll have everything put back in. So
awesome.
Yeah, good times.
Now you're making me wonder if I should go through mine before I go out to Moab.
I would say don't, because if everything's working right now, then just kind of leave it. If you go through it, you might find something, and then you can't reassemble it without parts, and parts are finicky to get right now.
Yeah.
So.
Ugh. But, or break down on Pritchett and have...
I could pull you out.
Okay.
Be fine.
Alrighty. You know... What I might be able to do, I do have a freshly assembled gear reduction box and T-case.
Oh, really?
Sitting on Samantha.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. You have a...
It's all 21, ready to go.
21 spline, right?
Well, yeah, I can't swap it.
Isn't Samantha's... Oh, did you do 23 spline through Samantha?
No, Samantha's 21 spline.
And Bobcat's 23, so because the R151. That's yeah. Right. Bummer.
Oh well. I got the laundry list of everything else to mm-hmm. do.
I do have a 21 spline gear at home. Just FYI, if you want to take that and do. I guess that wouldn't matter because you need to keep your R151. Just throw the W56 up there too.
Yeah. Right. Just do a trans swap.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, just bring Samantha's drivetrain with you in Clifford. Yeah,
just put it in the back of Clifford.
Oh, man. I did that. That took me to get where I'm at now. I've worked on that T-case about 6 to 7 hours to get to where it's at now. And a lot of it was just cleaning all the flange surfaces and cleaning all the metal paste out.
Sounds like a lot of it was, and grinding off the... air quote races or the middle sections of the bearings.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of figuring out, I spent a lot of time trying to get those off before just resorting to cutting them. Once I just resorted to cutting them, they came off quick and easy, but yeah. I did all that. And then I also got to go camping this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I went out with Battery Ryan.
Yeah. Ryan's in the GX.
Yep. He's GX_crawl on Instagram. He's really setting that up to be a really nice rig. It's his birthday. And yeah, so
happy birthday.
Yeah. We went out for his birthday and he wanted to go camping, just something quick to get out and, shut off for a little bit. He did just have a family member pass away. Oh, and so we were, trying to help him stay distracted from it, right? By going out and camping and having a good time on his birthday or for his birthday. And so we ended up staying out at the Fordyce staging area.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We tried to get to a couple of other places and I was towing the trailer behind the F-150 and I just don't trust the F-150 in snow. Those tires are terrible, absolutely horrid for snow. And so I'm like, he could pull me out if we got stuck anywhere, but he didn't have a winch.
Yeah.
And I just don't trust the F-150 in the snow. So, we tried to go to a few different places and as soon as we kind of hit snow that we couldn't be on pavement anymore, we just turned around and went to find a new place. So we settled on the Fordyce staging area and camped out, just out there next to the staging area there. Which ended up being a really great spot because apparently they created a couple of really big wood piles.
Oh.
From just extra downed brush and dead stuff in the area. And so we had plenty of firewood.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we set up a little fire area and camped out there and had a great time. The weather was nice. It didn't snow on us. It was, and then people came through Sunday morning to go run the trail. So I got to stop and talk with a couple people. And we had a listener come through as well, but he didn't recognize me and I didn't recognize him. And so we never stopped and got to see each other, but we coordinated afterwards and we were like, oh yeah, that was you. Okay. Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah. So
did you print out your fire permit?
Nope. Well, I guess technically I have the one in the 4Runner that's printed up, but I still have the one on my phone.
Oh yeah.
So we were out there, had a really good time. This was the first trip with the trailer that the secretary has been on.
Okay.
And she loved it.
Oh, good.
So, we got the trailer all set up, which is really just parking it, unhooking it from the truck. Like I left the chains and the lights hooked up to the truck, but just undid the ball hitch so that we could, extend the jack and level the trailer. So all we did was we parked it, unhooked the ball hitch, leveled the trailer, and then put the grass turf out and the chocks under the tires. And that was it. And she goes, all right, what else do we have to do to set up camp? I was like, nothing. Camp is set, baby.
Here's a beer.
Yeah. And she goes, really? That's awesome. I was like, yes, it is. And then when we were packing up to put away, we had the whole thing packed in like 5 minutes.
Sure.
And she goes, is that all we have to do to pack up? And I was like, yep. She goes, oh, this is amazing.
Well, good.
So
glad she liked it.
Yeah. So we kind of brainstormed some ideas to make the trailer more usable, especially out of the kitchen area, the galley, right? So yeah. We're going to go ahead and put the retractable counter, quote unquote, counter shelves in on drawer rails. And then underneath it, we're going to have pull out drawers. And then underneath that will be the drawers that are already there.
Okay.
So there's going to
be the drawers that are already there. Those pull out.
Correct.
That pulls out. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to have a pull out counter.
A pull out drawer on top of those.
Okay.
So
and then a pull out counter.
Correct.
Yep. Got it.
Yeah. So we'll have all those. And then we'll put we're still going to move forward with taking one of the lids and hanging it on the door as a counter space on the door. And then we're going to build a cabinet in the top over that hangs from the roof over the galley area for dry storage, mm-hmm, to put bags and whatever else up there. That's how the galley is going to work out, the whole kitchen area. And then from there,
you're going to build that shelf out of wood, or are you going to make like a hammock?
I'll build a wood. Yeah.
Okay.
And then put essentially bungees over the openings of the shelf so that you can pull the bungees out of the way to put shit in there, mm-hmm, and then put the bungees, let the bungees go, and everything will stay up there in theory.
Okay.
Because it'll be for like your bag, right? Your clothes bag, yeah, or stuff like that up there. So we'll have that. I got to sit down and talk with Ryan about electrical stuff, because that's one of our favorite things to do, sure, when we get together, is talk about ways to use electricity for stupid ideas. And I've come to the conclusion I'm going to run a single 200 amp hour lithium ion battery from Renogy, because they're on sale right now. They're like $400 off right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to need to get one of those before their sale ends. But I'm going to get a 200 amp hour lithium ion battery for there. It has the BMS and everything all built into it. And then I'm getting a 350 watt solar panel that'll be hard mounted to the top of the trailer from Dave McKinney.
Yes.
From Rubicon Trail Adventures. He's hooking me up with his solar provider that he uses for Rubicon Trail Adventures. And then I'm also going to carry that little portable 100 watt panel, and I'll have like a 50 foot wire worth of wire, so I can run that 100 watt solar panel and put it out in the sun if the trailer happens not be in the sun while we're there. So that's going to be the power setup for it. We just got a half set, whatever it is, of stoneware pans and one pot. And those are induction friendly.
Oh, cool.
And nothing sticks to them. They are phenomenal.
Heck yeah.
So I loved my cast iron, but they're really heavy. Mm-hmm. And they can be a little bit of a pain in the ass to clean every once in a while, depending on what you're making in there. Whereas these stoneware pots and pans, nothing sticks to them. We cooked a cheesy eggs in them on Sunday morning, and everything just came right out, and it cleaned out super easy.
Dang, cool.
So we have that set. That's going to live in there now. And then so to finish up the power, all we're going to need is really the two induction stovetops. Let's see. I was kind of talking and playing around with ideas about a shower hookup on there, and we're thinking about just doing like a solar shower, quote unquote, out of a black PVC tube that you see a lot of people running on top of their vehicles.
Yeah.
So just run that up there and then just run an air source into it, a little mini compressor to pressurize the tube, so you have pressurized water coming out of it. Either that, or I have a self-priming water pump built in the trailer already.
Yeah.
So I'll just run a hose up to the PVC tube that carries the water in it. And hopefully in theory, the water pump should be enough to get the water out of there and pump it out of a hand nozzle. So wow, for a little shower.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then I have a 270 degree awning coming on the way. Yep. Hopefully. I haven't looked into that to see where it is or what the
time frame is. I haven't heard anything from them, and I haven't heard anything from another company that said they were going to send something to us.
Yeah. So we're kind of, we've worked up some deals with a couple of companies to try out some of their products and tell all of you guys about them. We haven't heard anything, so we haven't been mentioning the companies.
Yeah, both the companies have been like, yeah, totally, we're totally in, and this is what we're gonna send you, and here's the list, and here's an email following up of things that are what's in the works, and and then haven't heard anything.
Yeah,
and crickets.
Yep, crickets. So, and I don't want to like bug them. So I don't know. It's a weird spot. So, anyways, that awning is supposedly in process. I don't know. But I have to wait for the awning to get here before I can do the exterior lighting and figure out the exterior lighting of the trailer. But once the awning, the exterior lighting, and then everything else I talked about is up and running, should be all set to go. Sweet. I don't think I'll have anything else I want to do to it necessarily. So, so that's the trailer, the battery. And then I also received sourced some 10.5-inch gear sets. And unit bearings for my axles. So those just came in last week as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. So right now I'm just kind of waiting on my axle housings.
Yeah. And have you followed up with them?
Not in 3 weeks.
Okay.
So last time I followed up with him, he said 2 to 3 weeks. It's been about 3.5, maybe 4 weeks now. And I haven't heard anything. So
time to do that again.
Yeah. I need to do that again. Just parts, waiting on parts.
Yep.
Yep. But fun stuff happening. So lots of fun little projects. We did get an invite to go on an expedition after Overland Expo PNW up in Oregon. And so I'm very highly considering taking the 4Runner up with the trailer and towing the trailer, the camping trailer up, and taking the camping trailer on that expedition with the 4Runner.
That'd be interesting.
Which would be hilarious, I think. It just depends on how many rock trails we're going to do, I think. So he said that it wasn't supposed to be terrible, a very difficult trip. It's supposed to be more about kind of like overlanding, like expeditioning, right? Rather than hard trails.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, why not bring the crawler and the trailer? It'd be a fun talking piece. That'd be
funny.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll get you guys more details. I don't want to say too much about that trip yet.
Yeah, it's
a few months out here, so we just don't have a whole lot of details on it. So once we get more details, we'll let you guys know about that. The 4Runner, if I want it set ready to go for this summer to be able to tow the trailer around to different places and go camping with it and, you know, set up a base camp and then go play around in the 4Runner on Ford ice, I need to put new shocks in the rear. And I need to bump stop it.
Yeah.
So the
bump
plan
stop party.
Bump stop party, exactly, right? See, when you have some bump stop, just order a bunch of Kongs on Amazon and we'll have a bump stop party. We'll bring Lee over so he can show us how to mount them, right?
Correct. Yeah.
I have decided I'm going to run the Fox 2.5-inch selectable remote reservoirs.
Oh.
As my rear shocks. Cool. For the 4Runner.
So you can adjust them soft to go crawling or hard when you're pulling the trailer. When
I'm pulling the trailer around on the freeways.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
So that's the decision. I doubt I'll get those set up before Moab. I have no inclination to really try.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of whenever I can get them for parts, but I would like to have them in before like June because things get really, really busy starting in June for me.
It's an hard... Our weekends are insane coming up.
Yeah, they are. So anyways, that's been kind of the last week. It's been a very eventful week for the Snail Trail guys here. So
definitely has.
Hope you guys enjoyed listening to episode 249 finally. And episode, 285. So hope you guys enjoyed it here. If people want to get a hold of us, give us feedback, let us know how much they enjoyed episode 249 or have been looking forward to it. How can they do that, Jimmy?
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram. I'm over at Snail Trail 4x4. Tyler's at 4x4 Toyota Tyler. You can email us, Jimmy or Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com. You can phone in Area code 916-345-4744. You can also find us on Instagram at Morflate. Tyler's over there, or the secretary.
Secretary is, yep.
And Snail Armor. I'm monitoring that one. Let's see. Is there, you can find us on irate 4x4 under our specific tags or category on the media section.
Yep, it's under, he called it watch, listen, discuss section. Okay. So that's where all of the quote unquote blue skulls are going to be housed. And blue skull is just a content creator, right?
Right.
So it can be podcasts, can be YouTube channels, famous faces on Instagram like Holly Fowler, Adam, oh, that one dude. So different people like that. That's going to be at the watch, listen, discuss section of Irate 4x4.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can find us over there. And well, this is actually, this one's coming out on April 1st.
April 1st, yeah. April Fools, is that what happened at 249? Yeah. Was that the plan this whole time? Oh, man.
So now the Irate 4x4 signups are open.
Yep, they're wide open. So gift box tier, giveaway tier, just basic access tier, everything's wide open for you guys. And we'll start interacting and saying hi over on the Snail Squad forum. So, which you can only see and get into if you have at least the access tier. So one of the three tiers. So yeah, let us know if you guys have any questions on that. Anybody that is moving over from Patreon, look to your emails. There will be instructions given here today, April 1st, for episode 285 for you guys. And let me know if you guys have any questions. Please reach out to Jimmy or I. We want to make sure that nobody gets lost in this transition. But it is really, it's a pretty smooth process. So I don't think you guys are going to have too many issues. So I think that's about it. Yeah,
I think so.
Cool. With that, Mr. Unlucky Jet, do you have any final words for everybody?
Flaming peanuts.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what is worse than a giraffe with a sore throat?
That would suck. What, a hippo with an intestinal issue?
A centipede with gout.
That's fair. I'll put that joke on.
Okay. I went to the doctor because I had sore feet.
Congratulations.
He said, gout. I said, but I just got here.
Oh. Did that really happen? No.
I'm convinced I have a foot disease.
Why is that?
There's no gout in my mind.
Oh, okay. That one was lame.
Oh, sorry.
Get it? Lame, because you can't walk.
Oh.
I win.
This one's kind of good. It's not that great, though. The new Nas album, King's Disease, may not have been the GOAT, but it's about gout.
I don't get it.
So gout is called the King's Disease?
Oh.
Because
he gets to eat all the red meat and drink and sugar all the time?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so the peasants don't.
Yeah. Does that make me a peasant?
Yes.
Okay.